Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 9 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. On today's episode, we're talking business and how melanin matters with special guest Sarika Diaz. I am your host, Alina Velez.
I'm your co-host, Asia Lowe.
And I'm your second co-host, Beatrice Fan, also known as B.
Well, hey, we just want to welcome Sarika to the episode today. So, Sarika, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, hey, before we dive into the episode and pick your brain a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and share with our listeners your bio. So Sarika Diaz, a licensed esthetician with 16 years of experience, is the founder of True Skin Aesthetics, a top-rated skincare clinic in Houston, Texas, specializing in results-driven treatments for all skin types with a focus on skin of color. As a multicultural skincare specialist, she is dedicated to bridging the gap in skincare by providing expert care through facials, chemical peels, and laser treatments tailored for melanated skin. Recently recognized as a top 3 finalist in Houston's Chronicles Best of the Best 2024, Sarika brings a diverse industry background from hands-on clinical work to educating professionals as a trainer for La Vida Aesthetics Institute, Cyton Lasers, and Glytone Chemical Peels. She also serves as co-chair and faculty speaker for the Science of Skincare Summit's Aesthetician Track, where she leads discussions on education, career development, and mentoring the next generation of aestheticians. Ooh, Sarika, thank you so much for all that you do for the industry. That's incredible.
My heart lives here.
Yeah, and it shows. First question up, okay. What inspired the name True Aesthetics and what does it represent about your approach to skincare?
Okay, so I was digging through all of my notes the other day when I was trying to come up with a name for my practice. And I had written down a definition. And True Skin Aesthetics' mission and values lay in its name, True. True's many definitions relating to the virtues of True Skin Aesthetics. True is to be real, genuine, and authentic, sincere, not deceitful, exact, precise, accurate, and correct, firm in allegiance, loyal, faithful, steadfast, exact, and accurate formation, position, and adjustment. And all of those things summarize me as an aesthetician in the way that I like to treat my clients. It's a little bit heavier or deeper than just, oh, I want them to feel beautiful within their true skin. No, I really wanted to dig deep when I decided what I wanted to name my practice.
It's poetic and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so powerful.
It's a beautiful meaning.
It came deep.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, what do you think has made you and your business stand out, you know, from the rest in the industry or those around you?
Oh, several things, but mostly my unwavering dedication to my clients and my professional development. I don't know of many other aestheticians, or at least in my immediate area. You girls are all rock star aestheticians too. So not many others in my area are doing what I'm doing as far as the time spent behind the chair, a time with working with these other companies, training. I myself try to take advantage of as many educational opportunities as possible. And then to have the blessing to be able to stand up on a podium and be able to present in front of a room full of other like-minded and aestheticians, And then beyond that, just being there for my people. If you're one of my clients and you know that, like, and this is probably very similar to most of us diehard SDs, we're our people's people. We're people pleasers, sometimes maybe to our own detriment, but we're here for them regardless. I've been with my clients through happy times, low, sad times, like the best and the worst of times is like true besties. Right. So that dedication to me and my people, I think that really makes it a difference.
For sure. I love that.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of times too, like you said, like we're whatchamacallit, we give so much and we've gone through all of that. And, you know, with that, we want to share like those good and those bad moments with our clients as we are those real diehards. Life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like lifers, like that's the clientele that you want when you talk about true skin. What I'm hearing from you, that deep description is like you want it to have those deep relationships as mm-hmm. well.
That's where those connections start.
Yep, definitely.
So something I hear often from estheticians, Sarika, is that their education didn't go deep enough in treating melanated skin. So was there a moment when you realized that this industry needs to do better? And what steps did you do to bridge that gap?
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. My education was terrible. Like, the schools here are just, they teach you barely enough to pass a state board test, and they don't really get further into it. Also, it is of my opinion that the education that I was provided when I was in school had a very Eurocentric vision of beauty. I myself being multiracial, so my mother is Chinese, my dad is German and Native American. So and my last name, Diaz, my husband is from Cuba. Houston, I recently read, is like the second most diverse city and major city in the U.S. When I was in school, I was like, why am I not being like taught about all of the people, the entire globe? Because I grew up, I didn't look like most of my peers. I grew up in North Houston, white upper middle class suburbia. I remember having a lot of insecurities as a young girl of like, oh, why isn't my hair blonde? Why aren't my eyes blue? Like my skin is really tan. And that's a shame, you know, but now I'm older, I'm more secure in myself. And, you know, I can embrace the differences of everybody every difference makes somebody else beautiful. Right. But in school, I just questioned a lot, like, well, why, what about darker skin or what about this? And my teacher, who I later found out was a cosmetologist, like, how are cosmetologists teaching estheticians to be estheticians? It's beyond me. But that's the case in vast majority of schools nationwide.
Yeah.
Right.
It, from the beginning, I felt like I was undereducated in that. And so when I left school, I got every opportunity that I could to try to further dig deep. And back then that was really hard. I graduated esthetician school in 2009. It was like YouTube was barely a thing.
Yeah. It's crazy to imagine. There was no literally. TikTok.
No, girl. Yeah. I think we're still on MySpace, I think.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Like, we did a podcast a few episodes ago, and I was talking about the same thing because I went to school over 20 years ago, and I was like, we didn't have any of those resources that the esthetician has today. So
no, not
I get
at
it.
All. I feel like the girls that graduate from school now, they're so much further ahead than I was. I literally, like, girl, you would not want to have been on my table the first couple of years of me being licensed. I didn't know that.
That's real.
That was a scary place to be.
Yeah, that's real life.
But God bless those first, you know, years of customers, and I made it through and I'm here now. So,
oh my God. I feel like that's not talked about. That's so underrated. Like really giving praise to those first few clients that really rock with you, even though they know you're still working things out. You're still figuring things out, but they believe in you and they see potential in you. And that's a special bond that you create with those people. And, you know, I have a few in my clientele still rocking with me, you know, and that's always just a beautiful thing. But shout out to them, right?
Talk about the best of times and the worst of times, because girl, we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Sure. Well, let's talk about maybe just like some red flags that that we might see an esthetician displaying that would signal that they're not well trained in treating melanated skin? What are some red flags?
Where do we start, girl?
Give me a top 3 to 5.
Okay, so one of them is, I see this a lot in my consultations. So some customer may come to me, we're talking it out, talking about the conditions that they're concerned with, and then they're like, oh, my last esthetician told me that I can't do chemical peels. Mm. And I'm like, huh, interesting.
What was her fit?
Like a 5, yeah. But like, I understand, and that's when I go into explaining, you know, there, chemical peels is just like a very broad term. It can mean a wide variety. Now, darker skin types may not be good for like high percentage acids or super low pHs, but mm-hmm. that doesn't exclude you point blank. Yeah. So I think a lot of estheticians just need a little bit more education to feel more comfortable. For just, that's just one example of the treating the darker skin types. They would just like write off certain things completely without right. being able to keep some options.
Cause it's easier to just say no. Right.
And exactly. just write it off. Which, you know, if I don't ever encourage anybody doing something they don't feel comfortable doing, but maybe have, that's why networking is so important. Like we all know yes. where our strengths are, where to stay in our lane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not too proud to say that is a condition that I am not well versed in treating. Here is somebody who I trust and I know is going to yes. serve you best. Mm-hmm. So, and that could also be another big red flag is the esthetician who wants to be for everybody and do all of the things.
Yeah.
Because good it point. Is very difficult to master. Not that it's impossible, but it takes a lot. And if yeah. we niche down, we really hyper-focus on whatever the specialty is, then you build your clientele around that. You get superb results because you're so hyper-focused on this one thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, correlates to another red flag that she's just got everything under the sun on her menu and she's just trying to make a dollar where she can make a dollar no matter what she focuses in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, what do they say? Jack of all trades, master of none. So,
yeah,
I'd say that's a red flag. Another red flag for me is making skincare recommendations that are not professional products.
Oh,
yeah.
Expand on that a little bit. Yeah.
You know, we work so hard to build our clientele and have them be loyal to us. And I get it. Not everybody has the means to stock like a bunch of retail, mm-hmm. but you're losing so much when you're sending them somewhere else to buy their products. Mm-hmm. And it also can hinder the results that you're able to get in the office when Mrs. Smith is just using whatever XYZ over-the-counter product. Mm-hmm. You're hurting yourself twice because you're sending her to go spend her money elsewhere instead of within your office. And then you're not able to achieve results as quickly as you might wish, or it might be counteracting what you're doing in the office completely because she's not using what you need her to be using.
Yeah. Right.
And well, I understand said. There's a big hang up, you know, in our industry with estheticians, like, well, I'm not a salesperson or I'm not this. And like, there's a difference between like selling ethically. And honestly, I don't really want to call it selling because it sounds like an ugly letter word, you know, mm-hmm. but if at the end of the day, your intentions are really to serve your clients and you want them to have the best results, there, you have to be the professional to lay out that roadmap for them and tell them, look, this is got how it's got to go. Mm-hmm. And I want us to be successful. And I want you to come back and I want you to send all your friends, all your family, everybody. I want to get to know everyone. And this is the way that we have to go about it to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they don't know what they don't know, right? I think that was something that like I struggled with early on in my career was like, getting in people's pockets when I have no business doing that. It's like, you don't know what this person is coming. You know, you never know what somebody's pocket looks like. And mm-hmm. You shouldn't sell from that place. You should sell because this is genuinely what I think your skin needs and is going to support what we're doing in the treatment room, you know, and people right. are going to find a way, you know, to make that happen, whether it's swiping a credit card or budgeting out, you know, some coffee here and there during the week or whatever, you know, people will make a way, but they don't know what they don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Some of the best advice I ever heard is like, do not insert yourself into your client's purse.
So true. Like,
yeah. Don't shop out of their pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Let them make the decision.
Exactly. Like some of the most wealthy people out there, like Mark Zuckerberg dresses like the most plain Jane you ever seen in your life. But yeah. he got a lot of money, so we can't insert
Adam Sandler.
You
know? Look at Adam Sandler.
Right. Yeah,
yes.
Covers whatsoever.
Yeah. You're doing them a disservice by not recommending products because you're not going to get those realistic expectations and, you know, they're not going to be happy with their results. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it just comes down to that. And, you know, maybe that's not getting into treatments yet. That's just incorporating some products because especially when treating melanated skin, like there's so much pre-treatment that goes into, you know, getting them into treatments. And so if you're not recommending products that are going to prepare their skin, you risk injury and just bad outcomes.
Yep, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what are some popular treatments that you offer in your spa and what kind of results are we seeing?
So I am a bit more of a medically trained esthetician. Mm-hmm. I tell clients, if you're looking for facial massage sculpting, I'm not the esthetician that you want to see. You want the fluffy woo-woo? Let me refer you to somebody else that'll mm-hmm. align your chakras and all of that jazz. But I'm not her. Yeah. I'm in a place for everything, don't get me wrong, but I'm not that girl.
Yeah.
In my office, I have focused on the correctives. So I do, like Alina said earlier in my bio, a lot of my treatments are lasers and chemical peels and getting into some nitty gritty stuff. I would say that I've become best known for the laser services that I provide. One of them being one of the Cyton lasers. They're the makers mm-hmm. of BBL, which stands for broadband light. It is not the surgical option. Don't get me confused. And then I offer Moxie, which is a gentle laser, skin resurfacing laser. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I will stack those treatments together when appropriate. BBL has some limitations. I can treat Fitzpatrick's 1-4. And I'm a seasoned provider, so I feel very comfortable treating my fours and maybe some very, very light fives, but I don't tell people to start there, you know. Mm-hmm. But then my Moxie laser is completely safe for skin of color. It's actually completely colorblind. It targets water in the skin. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter how light or how dark you are, that we all got water in the tissues. And then I also offer like some laser hair removal with an Alexandrite laser, which is used typically for lighter skin types. But I also have an ND YAG, which is what I use for my deeper skin tones. Nice. So the YAG can also be used for skin rejuvenation, rebuilding collagen, elastin, reducing redness in the skin. So it's usually those three I'm using for, as far as lasers go, for skin rejuvenation and results. I hope people just go visit my Instagram page. You can see them there.
I could tell you.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Too bad we can't show them through the audio. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm clearing a lot of pigmentary issues, melasma being one of them, which we all know is a beast to have to deal with. You know, refining pores, reducing fine lines and wrinkles, just rebuilding the skin. And I tell my patients these types of treatments, when done properly, they just give you like a filter effect, like in real life. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Right.
Sign me up.
Yeah, so true.
Well, I love all of those different treatments, and I love that you have such a variety, because that makes you, you know, so diverse in your clientele that you could truly treat anybody.
And sometimes
mix them, match them all. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they have a saying that Cytone owns skin, and they are not lying.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm curious, how did you get involved with them? And I don't know what the proper like title is of you working with them, but that partnership, how did that come about?
It's it's called KOL, stands for Key Opinion Leader. In Cytone, they also interchangeably use verbiage called luminary. So it's kind of funny. A lot of things in my career, as far as like the speaking and getting involved with different brands, has kind of just happened. If I've been in the right place at the right time and somebody else has said my name, I'm very lucky. And I'm grateful to the universe for giving me those opportunities. I was a faculty speaker a couple years ago at Science of Skincare Summit. This was before I was co-chair. And I was at a dinner hosted by Cytone. My rep was there. He invited me with some other doctors. And I was sitting there talking to a couple of doctors from San Antonio that had just bought a system. And they're asking me about how my system's been going and, you know, the revenue and how, you know, this, that, the other in the office. And been, oh, very good. And then they're asking me some questions, like practical things, like in the office. And I'm just giving them, this is what I would do if I had a case like this or whatever, whatever. And then one of the doctors turns to me, she goes, are you a physician? And I said, no, I'm an esthetician and laser professional. And she looks at me and she goes, I need you to come to my office to train my esthetician, because what would I give to have my esthetician just spew this knowledge out of her to my clients or patients? And I said, well, you know, I don't train for Cytone, and I know they've got wonderful trainers. And she cuts me off and she turns to the rep next to us and she goes, I need you to get her sign whatever paperwork so she can come to train my girl.
How flattering for you.
Yeah, that's super nice. Yeah. I was like, wow, she thinks I'm a doctor. And then she's like, whoa, now she wants me to come and train. And then like things that I hadn't done previously. I hadn't represented a brand. I hadn't traveled to practices to train staff. I hadn't. So by her, I guess, recognizing that I knew what I was talking about and that she wanted her team to be just as good as I was. And we're in total different cities. Mm-hmm. So she told him point blank, get this girl signed up to be a trainer and bring her to my office. So thankfully, you know, the universe is good to me in that way. I'm grateful. So I didn't seek it. It came to me.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I think it just goes to show when you are putting in the work and you're investing in yourself and you are choosing to, you know, dive into education and you're taking it serious. That's just the way it works. That's just the way the world works. And it's always going to come back to you in tenfold, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's clear that, you know, like being like all four of us are educators and also practicing estheticians in this field. And, you know, it's clear that inclusivity and education are becoming bigger priorities in the aesthetics world. And we still have a long way to go, but it's moving. So
better than when we first started. So.
Exactly. Better than 20 years ago. But like, where do you see the industry evolving when it comes to properly educating estheticians on treating all skin and all skin tones?
Well, I mean, just the awareness that we're talking about it now helps. Like, First things first. I think now more than ever, whenever I'm looking at like conferences to attend and I'm trying to look through like the talk tracks, there's always something with skin of color these days. There's like, oh, thank God, like it's about time. So that's one place that we can start, is just spreading awareness, the purpose of things like this podcast. Also, I wish that in the schools that they would have more detail, this different skin types. Like I remember I followed Fearless Beauty since the very beginning. I purchased the very first iteration of the book. And I remember getting it in the mail, reading it and just being like, thank God somebody has focused. And like everything I'm reading is everything that I've come to find out through practical hands-on experience. But it's just, you know, difficult. I have ADD, so to try to put it into words and on down on paper that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That it was like my brain. Yeah. And too, you know, the companies, whether they be skincare companies or device companies, recognizing that there is a lot of need for that education, and it forces them to dig deeper when they're developing products and devices to serve a wider Fitzpatrick range.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure.
So all of that combined is going to put us on the right trajectory so that, I don't know, hopefully sooner rather than later, other estheticians that are graduating from school, they feel better equipped to treat a wide range of different skin types.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're getting there. You know, I recently took on a project with an aesthetics book, and I think, you know, we're moving the right direction. And hopefully, as, you know, our next project with Fearless Beauties, we're trying to create a school program and hoping to bring our curriculum and our education into the schools and bringing our education to a broader community and being able to, everyone can feel confident treating all skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really just keep talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep like initiatives like what you guys are doing, supporting and pushing that forward.
Mm-hmm. And what about you? Like, you are already doing so much. You're wearing so many hats. And so what are exciting projects or initiatives that you're working on that we should all keep an eye out for, Sarika?
Well, mostly is I'm co-chairing the Science of Skincare Summit. This is, to my knowledge, the only conference dedicated solely to the science of topical skincare. So right up our alley as a
Interesting.
Physician. Yeah.
When is that? When and where?
So it's going to be in Austin, Texas. And it's actually started as like a dermatological conference, which I am so grateful for Dr. Ted Lane and Dr. Patty Ferris for recognizing the importance of the esthetician.
Mm.
So 2 years ago, they decided to have a esthetician's track. And last year I was asked to come back and be a co-chair. My co-chair is Renee Rulo. If you don't know her, you should get to know her because she's wonderful. She's a celebrity esthetician. She has very famous clients like Demi Lovato and Sabrina Carpenter. Renee is also out of Austin. She has her own skincare line. She's a formulator. She's just brilliant. So her and I spearhead the esthetician's track, and we're actively working on trying to put together what that's going to look like for this year in Austin, September the 5th through 7th. Okay. At the Fairmont Hotel. And later I'll give you my Instagram handles. If you follow me, I'll put an announcement out there for a discount code for registration. So if people would like to attend, which we would love to have all our SD besties come and be with us, learn, collaborate, get to know each other, you'll be able to save a little bit off the top, sweeten the deal with my registration code. So that, I would say, is the biggest project that I'm working on outside of my own business. I have goals with True Skin Aesthetics to grow and have a team that works with me. I love being a solo provider, but it's exhausting.
And lonely, I'm sure, sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Like, I definitely miss the camaraderie of having a team. And I mean, right now I try to go, if any of my reps invite me, oh, we're having a dinner here or we're going to have a workshop here, I'm like, I'll be there. You got it. Cause I'm like dying to get some socialization with other industry peers rather than just my day-to-day clients.
Right.
You know, hopefully in the next year, I'm actively searching to expand my practice. I would like to have a practice with maybe 3 to 5 treatment rooms and another esthetician or two and an admin. Lord, what I would give to have a good admin help me right now.
Don't we all?
Oh God. I tell my clients, I'm like, please have patience with me. And if I didn't get back to you by the end of my business day, please don't feel bad harassing me. Tell me to do my job.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yes. Worth it. It's the most It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life, but there is not a single day that I regret it. And to be honest, thinking back on it, I think I'd make a pretty crummy employee at this point. Nope, you don't want me. I'm a little too spoiled. I want to do things the way that I see fit. Mm-hmm. You know, nah, you don't want me, girl.
But we need more people like you. We need more people like you building businesses. So, you know, once people are graduating, they're coming into businesses who are running really good, you know, spas who want to have that extra education. And
yeah.
Like having a mentor and coach to push them through their careers and not being a gatekeeper, you know, and it sounds like that's kind of what you are creating with the summit that you're a part of and also what you're doing with True Skin and expanding in the next few years. So we're really excited to see where you go.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm an open book. Anybody I meet in the industry, esthetician or curious to become an esthetician, whatever, I'm going to give them my honest and raw opinion. It is the way I see it, so, and others will see things differently, but I'm just like, this is my experience. This is why I love my industry. This is where I think ways we could get better, but, you know, it's a collaborative environment, no gatekeeping ever.
Right.
Yes.
Well, cool. Let's go ahead and wrap up the episode by sharing your handles, best ways to connect with you and where they can find you.
Yeah, so I'm most active on Instagram. So I have two pages, my personal page, which I'll do like education. If I'm teaching, I put it there, is going to be Your Houston Esthetician, YourHoustonEsthetician. And then my practice is True Skin Aesthetics, HTX, and it's aesthetics with an A. My husband was like, why do you have to have two pages? And I was like, well, one is because it's me, and then the second is because I don't want to always be a solo esthetician. I want to cultivate the True Skin Aesthetics brand. So if right now, majority of the content is cross-posted because, again, I'm only one person. I don't have social media help. Right. But my goal is to eventually have the True Skin Aesthetics HTX page feature my future employees.
Heck yeah. Putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Well, we're rooting for you.
Thanks, guys. If you know anybody in Houston and like that is looking for a job in maybe the next year or so, holla at your girl.
We definitely will. Keep that in mind, for sure. Yeah. And as always, you guys can find the Fearless Beauties team on Instagram at Fearless Beauties. You can find my personal page at True Skin Lab. And go ahead.
We're kind of similar but different.
same but different.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram at Aesthetics by Asia LLC.
And you can find me on Instagram at Beauty by B, which is BEAPDX.
Beautiful. Sarika, thank you so much for your time today and just sharing all your wisdom. Yeah, it's been
so much fun. Maybe we do it again.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.